There is a photograph on AVWeb today that stopped me mid-scroll. A gray aircraft sitting on the ramp at Christchurch International Airport in New Zealand. At first glance, it reads like a standard turboprop transport. Big, utilitarian, military gray. But something about the landing gear catches your eye, and when you look closer, you understand immediately that this is not a standard anything. Those are skis. The aircraft is resting on skis on a paved ramp in New Zealand. That is an LC-130 Skybird, and the story of what that aircraft does and why it is sitting at Christchurch is one of the most remarkable operational stories in all of aviation. This is ATIS. On Radio Hangar, I'm Tower. And today we are going to talk about the only airplane keeping Antarctica open. Before we get into the history, today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Let's start with the mission, because the airplane exists entirely in service of it. Antarctica is the most remote continent on Earth. No permanent civilian government, no standing infrastructure outside the research stations, no scheduled airline service, and for a large portion of the year, no safe way in or out at all. The scientific research conducted there by the United States and its international partners is sustained by a logistics operation called Operation Deep Freeze. It has been running continuously since 1955, and the backbone of that operation for more than 60 years has been the Lockheed C-130 Hercules in its ski-equipped variant. That variant is the LC-130. The LC designation in military parlance indicates ski-equipped, and the ski system on this aircraft is the fundamental thing that separates it from every other Hercules ever built. The LC-130 can operate on both conventional hard runways and snow or ice surfaces, not one or the other. Both the ski and wheel systems work together. You depart Christchurch on wheels. You land at McMurdo Station or at Amundsen Scott South Pole Station. On skis, and the transition between configurations happens in flight and on the ground, depending on the surface ahead of you. The physical system is impressive when you look at it closely. There is a large ski under each of the four main gear positions and a nose ski at the front. The skis do not replace the wheels. The wheels remain in position and extend through the ski structure when operating on hard pavement. On snow and ice, the skis take the load. The weight penalty is real. The complexity is also real. Maintaining that dual-mode gear system in extreme cold is not a simple task, but there is no alternative if you want the cargo capacity of a four-engine turboprop delivered to a remote Antarctic airstrip. Now, the United States Air Force does use the Boeing C-17 Globemaster III for some Antarctic airlift. The C-17 can land on prepared surfaces at McMurdo, and it carries a larger payload than the LC-130. That capability has expanded the logistics pipeline in recent years, and it has been a meaningful addition, but the C-17 has limits. It cannot reach the Amundsen Scott South Pole Station. It cannot service the remote field camps scattered across the Antarctic interior. For those missions, you need ski capability. You need the LC-130, and there is only one organization in the United States military flying wheel ski equipped LC-130s. That is the 109th Airlift Wing of the New York Air National Guard. They are based at Stratton Air National Guard Base in Scotia, New York. And as far as public records show, they are the only unit in the world doing this particular job on this particular aircraft type. Stop for a moment and let that register. A single Air National Guard wing based in upstate New York, flying a small specialized fleet of aging turboprops, is the key logistical link between civilization and American science at the bottom of the world. Not active duty Air Force. A guard unit. The cliche about guard units is that they are weekend warriors. That cliche has always had more myth than truth in it, and nowhere is that more obvious than in the 109th. The Antarctic mission requires specialized training that takes years to develop. A first assignment on the ski bird involves a significant learning curve. Cold weather operations, ski surface landings, polar navigation techniques. These are not skills you acquire in a few simulator sessions. Beyond the standard C-130 qualification, crews must learn polar navigation, ski surface assessment procedures, and JADO operations. JADO stands for Jet Assisted Takeoff. The LC-130 carries externally mounted solid rocket bottles that can be fired during the takeoff roll on ski surfaces. The rockets provide additional thrust to compensate for the drag of the skis and the density altitude penalties at high elevation snowstrips. If you have ever seen footage of an LC-130 departing a snow runway with JADO bottles firing, it is one of the more dramatic sights in military aviation. Bright orange flame, dense white smoke, and a fully loaded four-engine turboprop accelerating off a snowfield with purpose. The 109th maintains this as a standard operational skill. It is not an emergency procedure. It is part of the normal toolkit for Antarctic operations. The 109th does not work only in Antarctica. Their polar expertise also takes them north to Greenland. The aircraft supports science and logistics on the Greenland ice sheet as well. The environments at both ends of the Earth present similar challenges, and operational experience in one theater feeds directly into performance in the other. They are not a single mission unit, they are the Polar Aviation Unit in the United States military, and there is no other organization that occupies that niche. Christchurch International Airport in New Zealand is where we came in today. It has been the primary staging hub for Antarctic operations since the early days of deep freeze. The choice of Christchurch was strategic. It is the southernmost major city with robust infrastructure on the Pacific side of the globe, roughly 2,300 miles from McMurdo Station. That puts it within practical range for a loaded LC-130 while still offering the logistics capacity needed to support a continuous airlift operation. Over the decades, Christchurch has built up a genuine Antarctic community. Cargo is processed, cold weather equipment is staged, weather forecasting teams work from the city, crews rotate through on schedules tied to the Antarctic seasons. The Christchurch Airport ramp has seen ski birds for more than 60 years. The sight of an LC-130 parked out there has become, for locals, a familiar seasonal marker. When the ski birds arrive, the ice season is opening. When they depart for the last time each year, the season is closing. The flight south from Christchurch to McMurdo takes approximately 5 to 8 hours, depending on load and wind. McMurdo Station sits on Ross Island at roughly 78 degrees south latitude, well below the Antarctic Circle. The approach on a clear day is described by returning crews in terms that balance wonder with workload. The Ross Ice Shelf stretching to the horizon, Mount Erebus, an active volcano, visible and smoking to the north, the blue of McMurdo Sound when conditions permit all of it unfolding as the crew manages a descent into an airport with limited infrastructure and weather that can change fast. There is no air traffic control radar at McMurdo. Instrument approaches are available based on the Global Positioning System, or GPS, and local navigation aids. But the environment bears little resemblance to anything in the National Airspace System, and navigation in the high southern latitudes introduces a challenge that most pilots never encounter. The magnetic compass becomes unreliable near the geographic South Pole. Magnetic variation, the angular difference between magnetic north and true north, can be extreme. The magnetic South Pole is not in the same location as the geographic South Pole. It drifts over time. Deep in Antarctic airspace, standard compass headings lose their utility. The ski bird crews navigate by true headings in those regions. The concept of following a compass course simply does not apply. You're navigating by GPS and inertial reference in an environment where your compass is pointing toward a location that has nothing to do with your destination. GPS coverage near the geographic South Pole is also worth discussing. The satellite constellation is optimized for the populated latitudes of the northern hemisphere. Near the poles, satellite geometry is less favorable, and coverage can be degraded at certain times. Crews operating to the Amundsen-Scott South Pole Station at 90 degrees south must account for this in their navigation planning. It is one of those details that never appears in a ground school textbook and matters enormously in practice. The South Pole Station itself sits at approximately 9,300 feet above mean sea level on the Antarctic Plateau. Combine that with temperatures that can drop to 60 degrees below 0 Fahrenheit or colder, and you are operating a heavy transport aircraft in profoundly thin, cold air. The density altitude numbers at those conditions are severe. The performance penalties are real. The JATO bottles exist specifically to address this. A heavy LC-130 departing a soft snow surface at the pole, on turboprop power alone, would face significant performance deficits under those conditions. The rockets close that gap. One of the operational terms you hear in Antarctic flying is boomerang. A boomerang is a mission that launches from Christchurch, flies south, encounters weather below minimums at the destination, and turns around. It is not considered a failure. It is considered the correct decision. The aircraft plans for this from the start. Departure fuel load includes enough to fly to the destination, hold if necessary, attempt an approach, and return to Christchurch if the approach cannot be completed. That return leg, flown on the back end of a long mission, represents the margin between a crew that goes home and a crew that pressed into unacceptable weather on a continent, with no rescue infrastructure within thousands of miles. The acceptance of the boomerang as a normal operational outcome is something the aviation safety community talks about and often struggles to cultivate. In Antarctic aviation, it is the default expectation. The weather is not negotiable. The decision to turn back, made proactively and without pressure, is how this program has operated for decades. The future of the LC-130 fleet is a recurring topic in defense budget discussions. The airframes are old. The ski system adds maintenance complexity. No direct replacement is on the near-term horizon. The C-130J Super Hercules from Lockheed Martin has been studied as a potential successor, and a ski-equipped variant is theoretically feasible. But developing and certifying a new type for this specific polar role involves a long and expensive process. As of now, the legacy airframes continue to fly, maintained and periodically updated, carrying the mission on aging but functional wings. What makes the ski bird situation unusual is the absence of any commercial parallel. No airline, no charter operator, no other military service does what the 109th does. The skills, the procedures, the institutional knowledge built up over 60-plus years of polar operations, all of it lives inside a single guard wing in upstate New York. If that unit ever had a serious capability gap, there would be nowhere to turn. The Antarctic research stations would feel it directly. The scientists at McMurdo and at the pole depend on that airlift the way any remote community depends on its supply chain, except the alternative in their case is not a longer drive. It is no resupply at all. That photograph on AVWeb today, that gray aircraft on the ramp at Christchurch, is a snapshot of something continuous, not dramatic in the frame. Not urgent looking, just an aircraft in the middle of a mission cycle being serviced and staged and made ready for another push south. It has been happening for more than 60 years. Some airplanes have a mission, some airplanes are the mission. The LC-130 Ski Bird is the latter. Credit to AVWeb for the picture of the day on July 3rd. And to the 109th Airlift Wing's public affairs record and the United States Antarctic Program's published documentation for the operational detail. You can find more at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Stay ahead of the airplane.